fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue to make my way through the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. It's where I think we could spend 2 months just on this one chapter. There's so much being revealed here. The Word of God has just got layers and layers and layers of grace and revelation and God's Word, God's purpose, deep truth that is life-changing if we take it into our hearts and just let it lay hold of us at the most profound level of our being and take it really seriously. Let the Holy Spirit bring conviction and let the Holy Spirit help you understand both what's being said but also what's happening in your own life and what the words of Jesus and the drama that's unfolding, in what way is that drama unfolding in your life? It's so relevant. It's so timely. These are not just words that meant something only in the past. This is a living word. God's word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It manifests the intentions of your heart and mine. It exposes the truth about what's moving within us and the true condition of our hearts. Before I go on, if you haven't been able to listen to the program over the last few weeks and you're just catching it on the fly today on the radio in your car, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. And the program, Fire on the Earth, these programs are archived there. And listen to the program over the last week. I think you're going to be both inspired but also instructed in a way that I think is going to really help you understand some of the battle and the conflict that you yourself are engaged in today. Because whether we want to admit it or not, we are engaged in this mortal combat between, as St. Paul describes, principalities and powers in this world, real live spiritual beings, Satan and demons, they're real. It's not something that's just made up. It's not fanatical. Jesus taught it. Jesus confronted them. And we're up against spiritual forces, no question about it. And without the help of God, our minds are easily darkened. The Word of God sheds light into our mind and our heart. Without the help of God, we can't see the depth of the battle that we're in, and therefore we can't enter into what Jesus promises here for all those who, quote-unquote, continue in His Word. We can't enter into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So yesterday I ended the program talking about the current culture that we're living in and its war against the truth. We see in this chapter the religious leaders in Israel are resisting the truth that's in Jesus and that He's trying to communicate. Jesus goes on to show the source of it. Yesterday, I made reference at the end of the program to St. Paul in Romans chapter 1, where he makes clear that the fundamental struggle in the human heart, the fundamental resistance in the human heart, is the suppression of the truth. The fundamental sin, the temptation of the human heart, the big one, is to suppress the truth about God. Essentially, to ignore God, be indifferent to God, to deny God, to empty God of His greatness. And St. Paul said, that gets manifested in the human heart's refusal to acknowledge God as God and His greatness. As I mentioned yesterday, many of the brightest people in the world today, in the West in particular, but by no means all, but many, many who are driving the culture are enslaved to a form of idolatry, and they don't even know it. And the idolatry is saying no to God. Manifested, I thought, the title, as I mentioned yesterday, of Christopher Hitchens' book. He died a few years ago, an atheist. He wrote a book called God Is Not Great. The whole book was basically a denial, mockery of God. And so that's a revelation. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the author writes. And it reveals the condition and the pride of the human mind to want to suppress the truth about God, and therefore refusing to acknowledge God and to giving Him thanks. What we hate is submission. What we refuse is submission. And the more horsepower we have as human beings often makes it even harder, because we can be just shot through with pride. I don't need anybody. I'm first. I won't be second to anyone. I'm the source of everything that is good or talented in me. I'm the source. We don't want to bend the knee to God. That's the source. That's a form of idolatry, refusal to acknowledge God as God. And then Paul goes on to say in that letter, so profound, so important to say, you know, this is not just some innocent thing, because God reveals himself to every human heart and man refuses to acknowledge God. He's guilty, Paul says. This is sin. This is real wrongdoing, and it's crippling and destroying us. And when we reject God, we think we're in charge, but we're not. When we take God off the throne of our life, or we don't let him get on it at all, and we don't live under his rule, his reign, his dominion, his help, his teaching, somebody else, much more powerful than us, is going to be impacting us. And it's the devil. It's really true. It's really true. So as a consequence of that refusal, that idolatry, St. Paul describes a whole set of immoral behaviors that begin to emerge. Sexuality goes bonkers. Human beings start being dominated by sexual drives of all kinds. He speaks there of homosexuality, of men burning for men, women burning for women. But not just that, many other kinds of sins that come as a consequence because we lose sight of who we are. We don't know the truth about how we're made, what we're made for. And we then become slaves to this fallen passion and desireness, which is insatiable. I want to feel pleasure constantly. I want comfort. I want recognition. I want influence. I want power. And it's an insatiable drive that apart from God's grace cannot be conquered. So Cardinal Ratzinger, who went on to become Pope Benedict XVI, gave some powerful reflections on this. And he said, as I mentioned at the end of yesterday's program, human beings oppose the truth that would demand submission from them. And submission in the form, he says, of honoring God and giving God thanks. For Paul, St. Paul, the moral collapse of society is merely the logical consequence and the exact mirror image of this fundamental perversion. This is a great insight. He says at one point, the organs with which we perceive truth can become dulled to the point of complete blindness and deafness. The organs with which we perceive truth, our mind, our spirit, our will. So God teaches, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The heart that looks to God for everything, that's simple, that's pure and beautiful. He's quoting Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. He said, the pure heart is one that is open and it's humble. The impure heart, according to this, is the opposite. The presumptuous heart that is shut in on itself, that is completely filled up with itself and incapable of finding room for the majesty of truth that demands reverence and ultimately worship. Right here, friends, is the battle that's unfolding in a huge way in our culture. And many, many, many within the church are infected by it. This is the battle, the truth about God. Today, the broader culture, you know, the image I have is people pounding their chests saying, nobody can tell me what to do. I'm the master of my own life. I live by my truth, not anybody else's truth. No one will impose their truth on me, because if they do, then I'm not free. In order for me to be free, I have to be the source of my own life and I'm my own designer. I create my own morality. That's what's in the air, and we call it freedom. And we insist on it. And the government now, because the government's becoming more secularized and doesn't sort of govern with a sense of a healthy fear of God or respect of the things of God. The government now it's the power of the government is being used by people to demand every kind of lifestyle, every kind of, let's just look at what's happened to human sexuality. Beginning with the battle's always been there, but we are living at a time when the outbreak of the logic of this resistance to God is really being manifested. And you go back to the 60s and the rise of the sexual revolution. At the core of the sexual revolution is the refusal to accept the truth about human sexuality. Male and female, he's created them, that, you know, the human reproductive system is meant male and female. A man has half a reproductive system and a woman has half a reproductive system. And when they come together, there's a whole reproductive system there that then allows this bodily function to produce its end and its purpose, which is children. You don't have to be a religious person to see that fact. And what we've known for thousands of years, that human sexuality is meant for, as our friend Janet Smith says, babies and bonding, family, the image of God. In the 60s, we said, forget it. We bought the Kool-Aid that came from the Enlightenment, France and Europe, the rise of the secular, the resistance to God and revelation, trying to create a world completely apart from any religious influence or insight. So we decide that we're going to just say that every man is free. We have the power to do whatever we want. There is no morality around this. It's all about people's personal decision. It's about personal consent. There's no ultimate truth here other than what we decide, what we feel, what we believe for ourselves. So that was the foundation that was laid. And then what ends up happening? The pill's created, and we're able to just have a certain mastery over it. And now our technique, our ability to master the sexual powers, quote unquote, we can have sex anytime we want with whoever we want without consequence. We can ignore the reproductive end and purpose of the whole thing. And then as a result, the culture starts thinking differently about this, and divorce starts coming at a much higher rate. Families begin to break down. Truth isn't being passed on. Falsehood's being lived more and more. That's kind of where it all began. But the logic of it all, that it is what I name it to be. It is what I feel that it is. There's no truth, as Pope Benedict put here, that there's a failure to have the kind of reverence for the majesty of truth that's being revealed in God's order and God's purpose and God's creation. For me to live the way I want to live, I have to not only in some ways reject God, I have to dethrone the truth about the ground of our being and reality and the purpose of creation so I can make it what I want it to be. And then, of course, we see the emergence of same-sex marriage happening in our culture. So there's a complete suppression of the truth about sexual complementarity. But look, if it's not about God's design for reproduction and family life, it's what I want it to be. And I feel these deep desires within me, and I should be able to express those desires, and everybody in the government and everyone else should have to bend the knee and genuflect to what I want for my life, period. So there's a colluding going on. There's a collusion going on in broader society, and all for. So if all of us are going to be able to live that way, we have to affirm everybody else's choice about how they want to live. And it's a collective deceit. It's a lie. And we put law behind a lie. Now you see polyamorists are going to the government insisting on their quote-unquote marriage being recognized. So I want to pick this up again tomorrow and finish this line of thinking and to be able to see how the truth revealed in Christ is the key to us being able to live in freedom. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.